SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The esteemed author, one of the great sports writers of all time, his books, all bestsellers, Peter Gallenbach, is back on Coast to Coast again. Through the years, he's been on my show several times on the radio. Peter, it's great to see you. I know you wrote the book about Pete Rose on hitting, how to hit better than anybody. Obviously, right. With his passing this week, what was your initial thoughts when you heard that the hit king had died at 83?
Quite frankly, I never thought Pete Rose would ever die, ever. I mean, he was such a presence. He was just so important to the game of baseball for so, so many years. I was saddened, if you want to know the truth. I have a certain relationship with him. We were going to write his autobiography. We wrote a proposal, and they offered us $350,000 for the thing. And unfortunately, at the time, he was not willing to admit that he had bet on baseball. And so he was concerned that we were going to write this thing and that he wasn't going to tell the truth. And so his response was, they're not offering us enough money. And so he didn't write the book for another, say, 10 years.
So he, you know, the bottom line was, if he was going to tell the real story, he wanted more money.
Well, he wasn't going to tell the real story. And so he didn't really want to write a book where he wasn't telling the truth. That's the way I saw it.
Well, and that's your relationship.
Why he backed out. Because, you know, ordinarily Pete wants the money. But it was the sort of thing where he knew in his heart that he wasn't telling the truth. And so he needed a way to get out of it. And that's how he got out of it.
So, you know, I had said earlier on the show that in his later years, he was in Las Vegas, you know, sitting right in the MGM in a memorabilia store, hawking autographs and selling balls. And I frankly found it depressing. I thought it was... it was really sad for me to see, because I grew up watching him play the Pirates my whole life against the Phillies and the Reds and the Expos and whoever. And I thought, you know, I hated him because he was so great. He was so awesome. He was such a killer, and he was such an incredible baseball player. That's the guy that I wanted to remember, not the guy with all of his problems. You knew him. Obviously through both his greatness and his problems.
Yeah.
How would you describe?
I mean, everybody who lived in Cincinnati for, I don't know, 15 years wanted to be Pete Rose. I mean, they just adored this fellow, you know, the same way in New York, the way they adored Mickey Mantle. And there were millions and millions of fans who adored Mickey Mantle. The people in Cincinnati adored Pete Rose the same way. I mean, he would walk and he would run to first base. You remember in the All-Star game where he needed to score a run and he ran into Ray Fosse and basically ruined the guy's career. You know, and so his fans all said, well, that's what he needed to do to win. And, of course, the people who hated him all said, what a terrible way to play the game of baseball. But that was Pete. That was Pete. He had 4,266 career hits. I mean, it's truly unbelievable. He hit in 44 straight games.
I know.
I mean, oh my God, my goodness, he had a lifetime batting average of .303. He was in 17 All-Star games, and I'll tell you what, the National League won 16 of those 17 games. I mean, he was the ball player of a certain decade. You know, he was just so important, so special in so many ways. His only problem, of course, was that he was a gambling addict.
Yeah, what did you think
He had a
when?
terrible, terrible, terrible gambling addiction.
Right. Well, what did you think when you're this guy that you admired and looked up to, I did as a his prowess on the baseball field was undeniable, and he was such a great player, and he was such a literally rock star. He was enormous in baseball. What
He
did you
was.
think when it started coming out that he had the problem?
Well, when we did How to Hit Better Than Everybody, I was spent the week in Cincinnati with him. And I came in one day and I'm waiting for him, and he comes in and he says, "Look at this." He goes like this. And what it is, it's about 100 racetrack horse tickets. I said, "Hey, what's that?" He says, "Well, today my partner and I are betting the pick six, in which you have to pick the winners of the first six races at whatever racetrack was in Cincinnati."
Right.
And he said to me, and I know the trainers, and three of the trainers told me that their horse was going to win in those three races. And so I bought the tickets of every other horse in the other three races. I mean, literally, there must have been 100 tickets. It was, and I said, "Pete, what did you pay for this?" He says, "Well, we spent $100,000." I mean, $100,000 back in 1980, whatever it was. I mean, that's a hell of a lot of money.
Yeah.
So this was something that Pete was willing to do. And the next day, he came in and I said, "Well, how'd you do?" He said, "We won." "How much did you win?" "Well, we won 50 grand." Those are the bets he was willing to take. So I knew when he got in trouble, the reason he was doing what he was doing was because he must have owed some of the wrong people a lot of money. Otherwise, I can't imagine that he would have done what he did.
What
You
did
know,
you
it just
think
makes
of,
sense.
yeah, what did you think of how it got worse from there? I mean, you knew that he had a gambling problem, but then
Yeah.
what did you think of the ensuing downfall of his life? Like, it really became a shambles the last 20 years of his life, I mean, at least.
He couldn't get out of it. This was something he just he was lucky they didn't break his legs. I mean, he was in a position where I guess he didn't have much choice, would be my analysis of what was going on. This is what happens to gambling addicts. Gambling addicts are like sex addicts, and they're like drug addicts. Things do not end up well for these people. They just don't. And they didn't for Pete.
They sure didn't. Of all
No.
the great books that you've done, I'm so many of them are incredible and bestsellers, all the rest. Was he one of your favorites to ever write a book about or with?
Of course he was. He was bigger than life. He was such a character. He was an interesting guy. He was. And I'm sort of sorry that we didn't get to write that autobiography in the way that it should have been written. I think the mistake that Pete made was that from the beginning he should have fessed up to what he did. He would have had a much happier life for the next 20, 30 years. It was unfortunate. He just couldn't bring himself to admit what he had done.
Peter Gallenbach, always great to see you. Your book, Pete Rose on Hitting, How to Hit Better Than Anybody, a great read. Everybody should check it out. All of Pete's books are fantastic. Peter, always good to see you. This is your latest one, Baseball Heaven, right there, huh?
It is indeed. I've got some wonderful people in there.
I'm a little surprised you haven't sent me a copy. I'm disappointed in you, Pete.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I'm feeling pretty good about this Tigers plus 130 going to the bottom of the ninth at Minute Maid, up 3-0 on Houston. I'm not feeling good at all about the over 6.5 in the Orioles and Royals. No score, bottom five, two outs at Camden, and neither team has been able to scratch one in. I know they have runners on the corners right now with two outs, the Orioles. They need a hit. Somebody has to break the ice here because that number's not going anywhere.
They're hoping that somebody's going to be Gunnar Henderson. He's who's up at the plate right now with those runners on the corners and two outs. So let's see if he can get something cooking here for the Birds. All right, a few other NFL things, and then I want to move on to some college. Remember, the Mets and the Brewers, they start in about 15 minutes as well out in Milwaukee, Severino and Freddie Peralta. All right, the Chiefs, obviously, Scotty, are going to be in the need of some wide receivers. They are now nothing official yet, but as we know, Rashee Rice gets hurt. They're already without Hollywood Brown for the rest of the season. Here's Andy Reid on potentially bringing in some talent from elsewhere.
Yeah, Nate, it would depend on who the guy is. I mean, that's the obvious. If he's got experience in the offense,
Adams,
it's not too bad. But it takes somebody a little bit of time to get himself involved and get the terminology down. But it's a lot easier now than it is during training camp when they have to learn a gazillion plays. Here, they just have the game week to learn. And but getting on the same page with the quarterback and the timing and all that, that's a bigger issue.
Yeah, you got Patrick Mahomes. He can get anybody on the timing.
Yeah, but they're not stupid enough to trade Adams to the Chiefs.
I was just going to say to you, I know things are different now in sports and in NFL, but you know this, and you're a huge Al Davis fan. You loved Al Davis. He would turn over in his grave if the Raiders helped the Kansas City Chiefs with anything.
Yeah.
You know that. And I know the Sun's done a lot of things differently, moved him to Vegas, made them, you know.
Yeah, you're
he
right.
He cannot trade one of the best wide receivers in football to the Chiefs, the division hated, division rival, longtime rival. You can't do it.
They'll win the Super Bowl again. They'll win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, they probably would if that made the deal.
Well, I never thought I'd see the day that Barkley would get traded to the Eagles.
Well, he didn't get traded. He signed there.
Whatever.
He was a free agent. He didn't get traded.
Whatever.
That's different, though. When you're a free agent, you can go wherever
different.
You want.
It is different.
That's
I never
different.
Thought I'd see it, though.
But, look, that to trade him there would be absolutely ridiculous. Now, as far as the Chiefs go, Scotty, I think you're going to see more names like Amari Cooper, some other. I actually saw people go say Tyreek Hill last night, send him back since the Dolphins season is going to be so bad. I don't think they have the money to do that. Remember, the Chiefs, everybody's got their cap kind of full. Hill makes a lot of money over
the Chiefs
the next
don't have
years.
To follow the rules of the NFL or the salary
That's
cap
true.
At all. They do whatever they want, and they get all
I
the
forgot
calls,
about that.
And they get everything their way served up nice and warm.
The Chiefs this week will be home on Monday Night Football against the Saints.
Of
that
course.
Is the only one. We're back to only one Monday Night game this week. It's Chiefs and Saints. Chiefs minus 5 and 42.5 here early in the week.
I mean, I think the Saints have come down to earth, okay? And I think they're decent. I don't think they're great, and I think the Chiefs are a problem. They're a problem for whoever plays them. They always find a way, always. I mean, every single week. It is like, when is the last time you saw them lose a game? I mean, like 5 years ago, like I don't even remember the last time they lost a game. Honestly,
it's very true. They have undefeated so far this season. Saints coming in at 2-2 right now. Before
and
we get that going,
and what they win last year, three or four playoff games in the Super Bowl. I mean, they haven't lost. And when is the last time they lost a game?
Probably be end of regular season last year, somewhere around then, going into the playoffs before that.
Sick and tired of it.
The real primetime event this week, though, in the NFL is on Sunday night, where the Dallas Cowboys head to the place the Steelers play. I always love when the Steelers and the Cowboys get back together. A rivalry from back in the day, unlike any other in the NFL. They were playing each other in Super Bowls every single year. Let's start on the Cowboys side of things, Scotty. Of course, They have not played since last Thursday when they beat the Giants at MetLife, and they had some very key injuries in that game. Micah Parsons and DeMarcus Lawrence, and it looks like the Cowboys are obviously – they put Lawrence on the IR today, and it looks like they're not going to have Parsons either when they head to Pittsburgh on Sunday night. Here's McCarthy on trying to fill those big shoes.
Well, I mean, it's definitely the unfortunate part of our game. Definitely too tough for, you know, what those two guys mean to our football team, and especially being in the same position. So I think all that is the obvious, you know, part of the challenge. But, you know, this is what this game's all about. This is what this league's all about. You know, it takes a lot of players to win in this league, you know, week in and week out. So it creates a great opportunity for others. And that's really our approach. You know, obviously we're going to have to make some roster adjustments. We're still kind of working through that.
Yeah, I think this team's a problem for the Steelers, even without them. Seriously, you know, obviously Parsons and Lawrence are a huge factor for them. There's no doubt about it. But, you know, the same thing. The Raiders, I told you, Crosby was out. Adams was out. I still bet on them, and they won the game. They beat Cleveland outright, right? So the Cowboys and Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, that offense can give the Steelers problems. They can score. They will score. If the Colts can score on the Steelers, believe me, you, the Cowboys can score on the Steelers. I'm very worried about the game, you know, to be honest with you. Playing the Cowboys on Sunday night in Pittsburgh, the only thing they got going for them, in my opinion, is I guess they're – crowd and that defense. I'm not, you know, their offense is relatively stale to me. They still haven't figured it out. They go hot and cold like a faucet with their offense. Like against the Chargers, they had the Austin 55 yarder, and then how many pass plays did they complete in Indianapolis besides none? I mean, their running game was non-existent. One week they look good, the next week they look horrible. I don't trust them for 1 minute against Dallas on Sunday night. I'm not going here.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Unbelievable. So Foley had him on a slider, Diaz, and he swung and missed. But the ball, he may have fouled it into the ground, and it skipped off the dirt into the glove. I thought the catcher caught it. So they ruled that it hit the ground. And then I said, I'll watch. The next pitch, he'll get a hit. Sure enough, Diaz gets it through the hole at second. They score the run. It's 3-1. Astros are still down. But they got runners at first and second and nobody out. Foley on the mound for Detroit trying to figure this out. It's 3-1, nobody out, 2-1.
The Royals have also broken through at Camden Yards. RBI single by Bobby Witt Jr., 1-0. He drives in the run from third. So top six, Burns finally gives up a run. So we have some scoring in both places.
All right, runners, hopefully Detroit. I'm sorry, runners at second and third now. They got the a bunt, and the catcher threw the guy out at first. Now runners at second and third, both in scoring position, a single away from tying the game with one out.
Yeah, I can't have it, honestly.
Did we not just say this like 45 minutes ago that nothing is safe in this place? In the seventh, eighth, and ninth inning, nothing is safe. That when you take Scooble out, you're inviting a loss. You're inviting it. You're like, I don't care how good their bullpen is. This team never goes away, the Astros, ever. Now they're going to go to the bullpen again and change pitchers. All it takes is one hit, and this game's tied. And this game's, you know it's going to be tied. This game will be tied before we get off. I mean, literally, this guy's warming up now. He's going to come in, and 5 minutes from now, it's 3-3. One hit. That's all they need.
Unbelievable. It really is. We'll keep our eyes on both of these things.
Oh, my God.
Last thing from that Steeler game, of course. Tomlin did speak this morning. Of course, we'll have him for you tomorrow. He said Russell Wilson's close to full work. It sounds like Wilson's going to get back to full practices maybe by the end of this week, but he will continue to prepare Justin Fields to be the starter on Sunday night against the Cowboys, where the Steelers are -2.5 with a total of 42.5. So Steelers favored here at the place the Steelers play.
Like I said, I'm scared to death of Dallas in Pittsburgh Sunday night. Scared to death of them. I don't care if Parsons isn't playing, Lawrence. I don't care who's playing. I mean, you know Dak Prescott's better than Fields. That's just all there is to it. So
it's not easy.
They couldn't stop Joe Flacco.
They couldn't stop Joe Flacco. You're right about that. That'll be fun. I like that little Sunday night game between the Cowboys and the Steelers this week. Last thing from NFL-wise, Christian McCaffrey, he's got Achilles tendonitis in both legs. The story of this guy's injury over the last month has been just absolutely amazing. He went from he's going to play week one, he's fine, to flying to Germany.
Right.
And now both legs have it.
Now
what
he's
are
a cripple.
We doing here? What happened here? Where did it all go wrong?
What a shame. I mean, honestly, how will I ever sleep at night knowing that McCaffrey, who just bought a mansion in Hollywood, I think he bought George Clooney's mansion. He's
yes.
You know, as long as he's buying mansions, I'm happy for him. And as long as he's not playing at all, I'm happy for him. And the minute he comes back and starts playing, I'll be very unhappy. Because then they win. When he plays, they win. When he doesn't play, I'm not afraid of him that much. I mean, they still won, but they played the Patriots. The Patriots suck. They're coming into fruition real nicely, the Patriots, aren't they, now on a weekly basis? They are proving that total at 4.5 is still live.
Did you see the number that they just put up on the screen in this Tiger game? Since 1990. Teams going into the ninth inning leading by 3 or more runs were 1-538 or something like that. Only once is a team going into the ninth in the playoffs, 3 runs or more, come back. It was like the Cubs over the Giants in 2016 or something. Like that, honestly, that's it. Once it's happened.
There's
now
the hit.
Tigers,
there's a hit. There's the hit. No, that's an out to left field, a line drive, and they got the ball in. The runners are still at second and third. That was a great play by the left fielder to not only catch it, but to fling it back in and keep the runner standing on the bags. Now they got one out to get that hit. It's either a hit or a loss. I just need a loss. I don't care what happens. They got to get this next hitter. I'm losing weight over here, Carl.
I got a buck 30
on
this
puppy. Come on.
Bo Brisky in to seal this for the Tigers.
Your boy Brisket sandwich. Come on.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I mean, it really is unbelievable. This guy, Brisky, had him right where he wanted it, 1-2. Now it's full count, and he just can't get rid of McCormick. He just can't get him out. The guy's fouling pitches off, and he's throwing pitches in the dirt. He bounced one in. He's so nervous. He made cable in his trousers, and he can't get McCormick out with runners on second and third and 2 outs to end the game. This is truly unbelievable. I'm losing weight watching this. I want all of these people, this full house, to go home miserable. And he walked him. He threw it away. But the guy can't advance. Base is loaded now, this guy. Oh, my God. Now you got to get rid of him. Now you got to go. They're going to leave this guy in the game. They're going to leave this guy in the game that can't get anybody out. That's what they're going to do. They're going to leave this guy in that can't throw a strike. What do you think is going to happen?
Well, look, Jason Hayward's going to come up here with the bases loaded and 2 outs. I know one thing. If he let's say he walks him, walks another guy, makes it 3-2. You know who's up next. They turn it over to that Altuve, who always gets big hits. So one way or the other, you got to end this here. I want to see this Altuve come up, whether it's tied, down one, anything. We don't want him involved at all. They got to get Hayward out here. You don't want to turn this back over with Altuve and Yordan Alvarez coming out after him. End this
My man Brisket Sandwich is just flat out wild. He's all over the place. He bounced one in. He threw one in the dirt that got away. I will say this. Hayward, he honestly was so bad, right? Wasn't he with the Dodgers? He's so bad he can't hit.
Yeah.
Now, famous last word, so probably rake a double right now in the gap. But he has not been able to hit for a while. Like, he's on the, he's going down the other side of the mountain hard. You got to get this guy out.
He's had some big hits for Houston since he's been over there the last month.
It's already he can't throw a strike, this guy. This guy's already walking in the run. I mean, it's inevitable.
Just throw the ball down the middle. Let it hit it. Let the fielders do the work.
He cannot do it.
Please. He can't do it. He cannot
do it. You knew I couldn't get that buck 30 I had my hands on. I mean, you knew I had my hands wrapped around that buck 30.
Yeah.
You knew it.
We all do.
And then that Tigers plus 145 will go right down the toilet. That series odds. If you can't win with Scooble, you'll never win. You can't beat him with Scooble. You're not beating him in the series.
I don't disagree with that. This was an absolute must with Scooble today, especially with having a 3-0 lead and Scooble on the mound today. You cannot lose this game.
2-1. He can't throw a strike, this guy. He just cannot throw a strike because he's ass. He is ass, and I'm losing my temper. I am honestly, I'm starting to, I can feel my heart racing right now. Like, I'm getting so mad watching this guy pitch.
Well,
he is a mess. Why did they even bring him in?
Yeah, the other guy wasn't doing too well either. So
he threw a strike. It's a miracle.
Well, this is it now. We are not going to be able to function with anything else until we find out what Frisky does with Jason Hayward.
Here we go.
So we really need to, get past this.
He raked a hit, made line drive. He got it at first base. Game over. Game over, a buck 30. Game over, a line drive. First baseman caught it, Torkelson. Game over. Game over. You lose. Everybody go home. Everybody go to your car and drive home and sit in traffic. How do you like them apples, H-Town? How'd you enjoy that? We had it in the bag the whole time. I was never worried, Carver Hunt.
That was
great job by Brisky. He's a hell of a closer.
Very sweaty that was.
Bobby Brisky.
Is what that was. That was very, very sweaty. And
that's
God.
A win.
Thankfully, we don't have to see that Altuve come up because he's a total pain in the you know what.
Loss.
Yeah, he hit it right at the guy.
Win.
That was a
loss. That was... Win.
All right. There you go. So we move on. The Tigers take game number one. They're in Houston, so they are one win away from advancing on to face Cleveland in the NLDS. The Royals lead the Orioles 1-0, end of the sixth inning. So they go to the top of the seventh in Baltimore, 1-0 game. And the Mets and the Brewers are underway in Milwaukee, top of the first, one out. Mets are hitting. So
What is that on?
That is on ESPN 1. That is on the main ESPN.
All right.
The Met game. Main ESPN for them. All right. Few things I didn't get to with you yesterday, college football wise. I never got to show you the top 25 for this week, which, of course, I only wanted to show you because Indiana's on it now. Indiana, number 23 in the country with their 5-0 record. I love this guy, Cignetti. He is outstanding as they are getting ready for Northwestern this week. Alabama's won. We talked about that yesterday. Texas, Ohio State, Tennessee, and Georgia, the top five. The U is at number 8. Notre Dame is at 14 this week. There you go. BYU moving up a little bit afterward. UNLV also in there, Scotty, at number 25.
Yeah, and they lost their quarterback because of the NIL money, and they still went out and absolutely – kicked ass and took names. They put up like 56 points. Indiana looks great. I told you Illinois would cover against Penn State, and they did. They're now ranked as well. I'd say, you know, the U's still lucky to be where they are at 8 after they got that game gift wrapped to them against Virginia Tech where they hit the Hail Mary and they said it was incomplete. So it's crazy. The top 25 – look at Ole Miss. They dropped from 6 to 12. And then you look at that 13, 14, 15, LSU, Notre Dame, Clemson. Clemson's playing good football all of a sudden. I love BYU. Utah dropped with a loss at Rice-Eccles from 10th to 18th. Oklahoma won. They're now 19th. K-State 20th. They were up high. Now they're down low. Boise a winner, and they covered. They're at 21.
They certainly are. Of course, with Alabama moving up into the top spot, they are now, of course, at the top of the national title board as well, Scotty. After the win here, they were 6-1 before the Georgia game. They are now the favorites at plus 375 after. Since Saturday, 36% of the money, the most, is on Alabama to win the championship. We can back that up with, of course, all the odds, the top of the odds board there, which you will see Alabama at the top, along with, of course, Texas and Georgia and Ohio State and everyone else at the top of the national championship board.
Yeah, I'm not crowning them champions of anything. You know, we're week six in college football, and people are already crowning Alabama to champion because they beat Georgia. They were up 30-7, and then they blew the lead and then had to win on a 75-yard touchdown, and suddenly they're the national champs. Let's calm down here. Can we at least say that? Can we play the games? Can we get to the tournament? Would that be all right if we like actually got to the playoff and saw everyone play their games? At least their first game. How's that sound? Instead of crowning champions every single week that this stupid poll comes out, someone has crowned a new champion. Christ, there's been a number one team already, four of them. I mean, every week it's a new number one. I told you, I still don't agree with it. I don't agree with how it's worked from week to week. You win a game and you still aren't number one. Ohio State kicked Michigan State's ass. They got leapfrogged like they didn't exist. I mean, honestly, I think that AP poll is filled with wackos that run it. The people that do that are whacked. It's horrible. Every week it gets worse. I mean it.
They're not nice people. We don't like them. All those voters from the AP, we're not fans of them at all.
It's something to get my blood pressure up is what it is, because every week I go crazy when you give me that poll.
I know you do. I know you do. We'll come back. I will give you the best and the worst against the spread so far this year in college football. I think I've even got – I'm going to try to squeeze in Mario, Big Chest Cristobal, as Miami gets ready to head west to Berkeley, the long trip.
That can't be good.
For a conference game late night on Saturday night out in Berkeley.
They're laying 10 at Berkeley. And remember, the students at Berkeley are smarter than everyone, and they throw things at the field.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Here's the Brewers getting a double. Looks like no outs, double, runner at second, and they're jumping on Severino already in Milwaukee. And that was an error. That was no double. That was an error on Vientos, the shortstop. An easy ground ball. He butchered. It went into left field, and the guy ended up on second. So nice job there. It was Vientos who butchered it.
Yeah, he's not known for his glove. That's for sure, Vientos.
And now another hit to left. Christ almighty, it's going to be one after the next.
That could be a bad start there. Bottom seven at Camden Yards, by the way. Still 1-0 Royals. Reagans done for the day. So six shutout innings for Cole Reagans. Pitched great. Long comes out of the bullpen. The Royal bullpen will now need to get nine outs to try to take the first game against the Orioles in Baltimore. Here we go. Best and worst against the spread in college so far this year. Couple 5-0 ATSs on this list. BYU and Eastern Michigan.
Come on.
Ypsilanti. How about that?
Come on.
Tennessee, Marshall, Army, Pitt, San Jose State, UNLV, all 4-0 against the number. Some other good ones there. Ole Miss, Arkansas, Texas, Nebraska are 4-1 ATS.
I love BYU, and I can't believe Pitt's 4-0 against the spread. And how about Army, the Cadets, the Knights, along the river, 4-0 against the spread.
And, of course, if we have the best, we always have to shame the worst as well. Kansas and Kent State, 0-5 against the number. Air Force, Wisconsin, 0-4. NC State, North Carolina, 0-4-1. So you've got a bunch here on the bad side of things. LSU, Texas A&M, Florida State, Michigan, all 1-4
Look at
against
Michigan.
The spread. Yeah, that's them. There's Michigan right there for you as well. As we get ready for this week's matchups.
I gave you Minnesota last week in 10.5 in the big house. That hit.
So. Big fourth quarter for Minnesota. As it looked like that Michigan was going to run away and hide in that game, and the Gophers had a big fourth quarter to get everybody the cover there. Realignment news for you today. I know a couple weeks ago or a week and a half, 10 days ago, we said Gonzaga was going to join. Well, they officially did today. Gonzaga is going to join the Pac-12. UTEP. The Miners, the Rolling Hills of El Paso, will join the Mountain West Conference. Good for them. God bless and good luck. These conferences, you just got to be kidding me.
I mean, they're
going to
get stomped. They already suck. They
already
awful.
Suck.
I mean, just embarrassingly awful. And now they're going to be in the Mountain West. Who isn't going to be in the Mountain West? I mean, honestly, what's next? Valparaiso? I mean,
it's
honestly.
Getting there. I saw actually someone say today that maybe the Pac-12 was going to, since Gonzaga is a basketball-only school, that they might try to bring Grand Canyon in as well for basketball.
Oh, my God. I mean,
antelopes
honestly.
Getting involved
honestly.
In the Pac-12. The
what
antelopes.
Is next?
Everybody loves them.
Isn't that an online school?
Miami has to make the long trip to Cal this week. Of course, they survived Friday night at home against Virginia Tech. We got to have a little Mario in our lives here early
Big
in
chest.
The week. Always a lot of talking when it comes to Miami, Scotty. You know that. Whether it's players, media, fans, there's always a lot of talk. But Mario says, talk's cheap. It's time to play.
Look, all that talk with your pads, man. Come out the tunnel and go do something about it. All that, you know, this is not Hollywood. This is ball. And you got to grow up and be a grown-ass man to do grown-ass man stuff. And that's a really good football team with an unbelievable defensive line. So I think the right points were made. I think guys knew that they had to step up and elevate their game. And for the most part, a lot of guys did. And so, again, I know I've said it a million times, but just found a way.
Find a way. Listen, it's all about the Canes, baby. Cane day. Let's go.
Cane day.
Yeah, and listen, Michigan's got a brutal game in Seattle at Husky Stadium against Washington. That's a long-ass trip. And remember, they're 1-4 against the spread. I don't trust Michigan as far as you can spit or their quartererback.
Nope.
Either one
Severino,
of them.
Yeah, Severino finally got an out. The problem is the Brewers already have a run in. So RBI single by William Contreras, 1-0 Brewers. 2 on and 1 out in the bottom of the first inning there in Milwaukee. Miami, like we said, late night under the covers to Cal, a 10:30 East kick, 7:30 local in Berkeley.
Right.
I got 10 flat now, down from 10.5 this morning in a 54.5 total.
I mean, that's a little spicy for me, a little meaty at Berkeley, to be honest with you. That's a long trip. They look terrible against Virginia Tech. This is a huge test for them to go out to Cal, believe it or not. They're better than people think. I'm scared.
They are better than people. They are better than people.
On the road in California.
That's a big number. Weird spot for them. I know they're they got a lot more talent than Cal. But that's a tricky, tricky game for them late night under the covers. Okay, tomorrow I'll start the racks. Let me give you a few other highlighted games. Iowa's 3-1 this year. They're visiting Ohio State Saturday afternoon, 3:30 East. Big number here, 19.5 for the Buckeyes with a 44.5 total. Can Iowa cover the big number at the shoe?
No.
No, I agree with you. No, I don't think they're going to cover the big number at the shoe. Georgia off the loss at Alabama now comes home, and they'll have Auburn, who has all kinds of problems. How did Auburn lose that game to Oklahoma on Saturday, Sky? With your boy throwing. What are they doing throwing the football there in the fourth quarter? They let that pick six happen. They end up losing at home to the Sooners. 24-piece here. For Georgia, are they going to take it out on the Tigers on Saturday?
I doubt it. Like, I really do. Like, they couldn't beat up Kentucky. They got beat by Alabama. And now they're playing Auburn. So, and you got to win by 25 points. I don't trust Georgia at all right now.
Shouldn't trust Georgia right now. They have not been covering those big numbers. That is for sure. All right, I'll give you the rest of this stuff tomorrow. It was NBA Media Day yesterday also. I had a few NBA things for you. I could save some of them, but maybe I'll just give you Brunson when we come back as part of the leftovers. Or we'll try to get a couple of them in. We'll get a few NBA leftovers.
Bye.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Severino fiend Hoskins with the bases loaded, and the Brewers got a second run in, and then the next guy grounded out. So 2-0 after one in Milwaukee. And then as for the other game, in the bottom of the eighth, 1-0 Royals still in Baltimore and Camden. And we already know the Tigers won 3-1 over the Astros, clinging at the end of the lead with the bases loaded. And they got out of the jam with a line drive to first. So they took game one in Houston. Leftovers.
Bottom eight. Yeah, bottom eight in Camden. It's getting late early for the Orioles. They only got six outs to go with Bubich on now for the Royals. All right, leftovers, here we go. Florida State's going to start Brock Glenn at quarterback this week. DJU out a few weeks. If I was Mike Norvell in the Seminoles, I would tell DJU, you could be out for the rest of the year. We're good, buddy. You just go and take your bad finger or whatever he's got
and your money.
Go find your ninth school that you're going to play for in January, because we're finished here. Yesterday was NBA Media Day around the league. All of the teams, of course, taking all their pictures and doing all their media. The Knicks, of course, just made a huge trade over the weekend, although that trade's not official yet. Most of them wouldn't talk about it, including Tom Thibodeau saying, I don't know what you're talking about, wink, wink, because it's not an official trade yet. But Jalen Brunson, he was willing to say what his feelings were about Julius Randle and Dante DiVincenzo.
Yeah, that was definitely tough. But thankful that Julius welcomed me with open arms here. It was crazy. But I'm really thankful for them and their friendships and everything and what they brought to this team. Really thankful I got to get a relationship with Julius. And, just the memories we made together, it was really fun.
Oh, God.
Absolutely.
He always had
and
my
Dante,
back. He loved me from the beginning.
He was a groomsman at my wedding. That should tell you everything you need to know about our relationship. And love him to death. And
love him to death. Oh,
no mercy.
I mean, we'll see him.
We'll see him
soon.
Come up for Christmas.
Well, get ready now. The first of what will be 6,000 LeBron interviews about his son took place yesterday in Los Angeles. Here we go, Bron and Bronny. Here's LeBron.
It's a lot of excitement. Just pure joy, to be honest, to be able to come to work every day. Put in the work, hard work with your son. Every day, and be able to see him continue to grow. We push each other. He pushed me. I push him. We push our teammates and vice versa. So, just a very joyous, moment for not myself but for our family. And starting here today with Media Day. We've been in a couple photo booths. Did an interview over there with Spectrum. That was pretty cool. It's pretty awesome. Gives you a lot of life. It gives you a lot of life, especially when you're around young guys. I had a lot of fun, this summer with Ant-Man and Tyrese Halliburton and some of the young guys on the team.
Your son ain't Ant-Man.
And they give you a lot of energy, a lot of life. Ant-Man. So to be able to alongside him, he's 19 years old, be 20 soon in October, it just gives you some more life and the rest of the young guys on the team. So it's awesome.
His son is my son's age. He'll be 20 at Christmas. It's very emotional.
Very emotional. Let's fly one more in. Paul George, of course. What did he go to Philadelphia to do, Scotty? Win a championship. We'll see.
Oh, yeah. Here we go.
I think we all have our own motivation going into a season. It's great that everyone kind of has their own individual motivation. But we'll put all that together and, we'll have a common ground.
All that money you got.
A team motivation to go out and win. I think, I haven't been here to really feel – the magnificence of what it is to win in Philadelphia and how the fan base wants it.
None of them have. Don't worry.
But from the little time I've been here, no, you can tell the city is thirsty like for it, and you know the city wants one. And so I think it's just right. great.
JoJo,
everyone
no,
across the board is has the same goal of trying to win a championship. I've never won one yet, so that's always the motivation for me.
And you won't win one there either. So fabulous. There you go, Carver High. Ferrella finish. I know you're excited, Carver High, about what I found for you to try at the Texas State Fair. How about corn dog flavored beer with mustard in it? Like, how about some corn dog mustard beer? You gonna try that?
No shot. No shot that I would ever drink that. No shot.
What could be worse than corn dog mustard flavored beer? I mean, honest to Christ. At that point, I'm done doing stories. GTD is next. Go to ForAllOnTheBench.com for everything else. We'll see you tomorrow at 3, a coast to coast.